we stopped a little early yesterday on the Pei Zion Bay just to fill in today's short daf. We are 1, 2, 3, 6 narrow of the narrowest lines on Pei Zion Bay's. The word Tanan Hasam. So the Gemara says Tanan Hasam. The Mishnah in Tainus tells us as follows: B'shlosha prakim, the three periods during the year, B'shana, Kohanim nosin es kapem arba pamim. The Kohanim do Nisiyas Kapayim 4 times on one day. B'yom, B'shacharis, B'mosav, B'mincha, V'niyas Hasharim. They do it 4 times during the day, which is in the morning, Shacharis, Mosav, Mincha, V'niyas Hasharim. Those are the 4 times. And that occurs 3 different times during the year. V'elu hein, these are the 3 times this happens. On Tainios, on a fast day, Rashi's Tainish Shamim, when it came to the rainy season, the Mishnah, the Maseches, Tainish spends a lot of time discussing what happens when there's no rain, the various Tainios that you have to take upon yourselves asking for rain. So on the Tainios, there's a Ne'ilah davening. So there are 4 times you daven, and they do Nisis Kapayim on all 4. And the Elu, fine, that's the first one. Then Ma'amodos. Ma'amodos are, let's read through Rashi, see what Ma'amodos are. Rashi says, "Uvimamados arba yomim b'chol Shabbos, 4 days during every single week. That was Monday through Thursday. She'anshi mishmar Yisrael miskansin bareim. Members of Klal Yisrael would go to their cities. Umisanin v'korin v'masa breishis. They would fast on these 4 days of the week and read laying the Torah from Ma'isa breishis from the beginning of the Chumash. Kedamrinu b'maseches Tainus. V'hasam makshin. What's the reason why do this for?" Hasan Makshin, and Rashi doesn't explain this, but the idea was that they had 24 mamados, 24 mishmaros, I should say. The Kohanim were split up into 24 groups, and each group would go, they have 2 weeks during the year, they would go down the Kohanim, and they would do the Avoda. And one of the dinim was that the carbon tamid was meant to be a carbon tzibur. Now, for it to be a carbon tzibur, it has to represent all Klal Yisrael. Well, who's representing Klal Yisrael? So they set up a system when there were 24 groups, mamados, where Klal Yisrael would come together, members of the different groups of people living in Yerushalayim, where they would go to the shul and fast 4 days a week, and then they would lay Ma'aseh Bereishis as a way of representing Klal Yisrael. So Rashi continues and says, "V'hasam makshinim v'tainios mamados." There's a hekesh between a tainus and a mamad. Mi isbehu musaf. And the Gemara asks, "Makshinim." Rather, the Gemara asks, "Is there really musaf on tainus? We don't have musaf on tainus. Is there musaf on the mamados? No." Umashanin and Rashi says they answered, "Hachi kamar kohanim nosin kapem kolz manchem is palim." That on these 3 times during the year, a kohen is going to be nosin kapem on every time they have tefillah during that day. Sometimes they have 3 tefillahs, sometimes they have 4 tefillahs. But during the Mamados, during the Tanios, they do Niskis Kapayim on all 4.
But it's more than 3 times a year, 4 times a day.
Well, I guess there are 3 events, even though the event could reoccur. Even Mamados reoccurs, but...
So Shabbatot is...
Right, exactly.
3 times, okay.
And Rashi points out, so what's the Chiddush? Even during Mincha, they didn't do Nisiyas Kapayim. The Fisha Shlosha Prakum Halalu Tanios Haim, their fast days. Vein Shirchus B'Mincha. The reason why a Kohen doesn't do Birkas Kohanim, ideally he should do Birkas Kohanim during Mincha, but he doesn't do it because they're concerned they may have drunk and not capable of doing Birkas Kohanim. But a fast day where nobody's drinking, so then you're allowed to do Birkas Kohanim. But during the rest of the year, Valshari Mos Hashana, Rashi continues and says, Ein Nisiyas Kapayim B'Mincha. And v'yesh mehem arba pamim b'yom. And there are some of these days where there are sometimes 4 times a day where they daven, in which case you do it all 4. Not to say that all these days there's always 4 davenings. No, you do the nisus kapayim, all tefillahs of the day. Sometimes there are only 3 tefillahs, and sometimes there are 4 tefillahs.
Unlike today, basically it was taking from that, but today we're doing 1 time a day. Or twice.
Well, once a day we do Birkas Kohanim. In Eretz Yisrael, we do it every single day. Chutzar, it's only on Yom Tovim. But on Mincha, that's why we say in the morning, we say Yivarecha, we do Birkas Kohanim, we say Yivarecha Shem Vishmerecha and Chazar Tashatz. We don't say it during Mincha, because they wouldn't do it during Mincha. But in a tainus of Mincha, we do say it to Chazar Tashatz.
Yeah.
In Eretz Yisrael, they do actual Birkas Kohanim.
We do it every day.
Why did they?
By that, it's not every day. It's only in Shabbatot.
No. Every day they do it only in Shacharis. These times they do it even during Mincha, they do Birkas Kohanim.
I understand.
In Chutz Arts, we only do it in Yom Tovim. So the Gemara continues and says, quoting from this Mishnah in Tainus, that so what's the third time that they would do Nisis Kapayim, all tefillos of the day? So we said already, one was Tainios, one was Mamados, and one was Yom HaKippurim, or Yom Kippur, all the tefillos of the day. We have five tefillos. We only do four of the five tefillos, but there's Marv the night, but then there's Shacharis, there's Musaf, there's Mincha, and then there's Ne'ila. So Gemara says, my Ne'ilas HaSharim, the Mishnah in Tainus said there's Ne'ilas HaSharim. Those are one of the times you daven. There are four types of tefillahs. There's Shachas, Musaf, Mincha, Ne'ilas HaSharim. What's Ne'ilas HaSharim referred to? So the Gemara says, Rab Amar Tzelusa Yiserasa. An extra davening. A completely extra davening. Rashi says, Tzelusa Yiserasa, Mispalel Sheva Kishar HaTefillos. You daven like the rest of the tefillahs, like a full Shemona Esrei, like we do on Ne'ila. This is what Ne'ilah is, by the way, in Yom Kippur. Ushmul Amar, no, it's not an extra tefillah, it's a few extra words, which was Ma'anu Ma'chayenu. That's what you would say. That was a very short tefillah. You say that, but you don't daven any more than that. Very big machlok is what exactly is Ne'ilah. Is it a whole tefillah, or is it just a few extra words you say? There's a beautiful piece, I remember, that the Hegyoni Halacha, those of you who are familiar, has a beautiful piece of Ne'ilah. I wanted to look it up last night just to go through it, but I realized that it got flooded. I keep looking for Sfarim that I don't remember which got flooded, which didn't, so that got ruined. I never got a chance to get it again, but he's a beautiful piece on Ne'ilah. But the Achronim ask on this, according to Shmuel, who says Ne'ilah is simply these words of Ma'anu Machainu. So how could you say Birkas Kohanim during these few words? Birkas Kohanim is supposed to be in the context of a tefillah, Shemona Esrei. The halachas are that when you start saying Ritzeh, the Kohanim have to start going up. And if they're not up by the time you get to the Birkas Kohanim, they're not allowed to do it anymore. They're supposed to already be there at Ritzeh. So all the rules don't apply, and they point out, based on the Gemara and Sota, that you need to have a tefillah, the context of a tefillah, to do Birkas Kohanim. So according to Shmuel, who says Ne'ilah means Ma'anu Machayinu, what's tefillah? How is it able to talk about Birkas Kohanim in the Mishnah in Tainus? So the way I want to explain is that after they say Manu Machayinu, then they'd go to Ritzeh and Modim and then to Birkas Kohanim. What Shmuel meant to say was there wasn't a full seven brachas of tefillah, they're just the last few brachas, but not the full seven. So according to that, Shmuel's not that different than Rav. Different, but not that different. Mara says now, so that being the case, Masevi. The Mara asks, and Rav and Shmuel, again, Rav says it's a real tefillah, Ne'ilah, and Shmuel says it's simply a few extra words, Masevi.
Musaf and Arvit. And they said that they changed into Korbanot, right? As well.
That's the Machlokas in the Gemara, whether it's because of the Avos or because of the Korbanos.
So, at what time it was because of Korbanot? Or there was never because in replace of Korbanot. Meaning, if we're doing, if this is Beit HaMikdash, we do Korbanot, so you do not need Tfilah. Or that type of Tfilah.
It's a good question. In the end of the day, many say, the Rambam seems to say they're both true. Both of them are really true. The Avos were Misakin
and Tfilah. They actually practice in the Tfilah in time of Beit HaMikdash and Shacharit, Mincha and Arvit?
Yeah, I believe so. But I think what drove you to think of that, well, according to that, well, where does Ne'ilah come from? Is Ne'ilah, which Avos did create Ne'ilah? And which carbon generated Ne'ilah? That would be an interesting question. There's none that it really corresponds to. Ne'ilah is a special din for Yom Kippur.
Doesn't mention someone?
No. Maybe Pnimis is some other connection. You know, in Musaf, one might say Yosef is connected to Musaf. I think one there's room to say that. But so it says the Gemara Meisive, or Yom Kippurim, the night of Yom Kippur, Mispalel Sheva Umisvada, you daven seven and you do Vidui. B'Shachris Mispalel Sheva Umisvada, same thing, you say seven brachas and you do Vidui. Musaf Mispalel Sheva Umisvada, B'Mincha Mispalel Sheva Umisvada, B'Ni'ila Mispalel Sheva. So we see here that clearly, according to this Brisa, Nila wasn't simply words, it was mispalel. It was a tefillah, sheva, seven brachos. This supports Rav, and this is against Shmuel. So Gemara says, Tanaim, it's really machlokas Tanaim, whether or not Rav and Shmuel's debate, it really hinges upon a machlokas Tanaim in an earlier generation that it was debated whether it was a tefillah or not. What's the Tanai? What's the machlokas Tanaim? The Tanya. Yom Kippur Mimchashecha, Yom Kippur, as dark sets in, Mispal Sheva Misfada, they daven seven brachos, and then they do Vidoy. V'chosem b'Vidoy divrei Rebbe Meir. And Rebbe Meir finishes off saying they had the chasima of the Vidoy, you'd say some type of chasima, Rashi explains here. You had a nusach of Hakel Hasolchon. That's a lot. That's the concluding bracha would be Hakel Hasolchon. And Chacham Omer Mispal Shever Vimrat Lachtom Bevidoy Chosim. Chacham agreed to Rabbi Meir that you do say Tefillah of seven brachos, but he says one has the option of doing a Chasima, finishing off with a bracha of Invidoy. They say you don't necessarily need one, but you can if you want. So this is so something strange here now. Now the Gemara says this is Tiyufta Dishmul Tiyufta. I just thought we were saying Tanai, so I guess the Gemara probably takes out the word Tanai. Ah, yeah, okay. So the Hagosra Ransberg on the side here says the word shouldn't be Tanai. Tanai seems to say it's a Machlokas Tanai as an answer. That's not the Gersa. The Gersa should be Visutanin. Furthermore, we're asking an additional Kasha to Shmuel. We are now asking two different brises. There's not supposed to be an answer. We have two brises that both say that you're supposed to daven seven brachos for Ne'ila. So Rav says it's that Ne'ila is seven brachos. Shmuel says it's simply the words Me'anu Mechayinu. So these both these brises are saying there's a tefillah and there's a tiyufta. It's an unanswerable question to Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Ula barav nachas kamed Rava. Ula once went in front of Rava during Ne'ila. And pasach v'atav rechatanu. He started off v'atav rechatanu, mikol ha'amim. V'sayim, and he concluded the bracha b'me'anu mechayenu. So he kind of did both. He started off with the tefillah, the bracha, and then finished off with the Shmuel statement.
That's what you said before.
What?
That's what you said before. That he started with
I said that before, yeah?
Yeah, in regards to Birkat HaKohanim, in regards to...
I only said at the end of the bracha, not the beginning of the tefillah. Only the average say, Atav HaKatanu is the beginning of the tefillah. Which say is at the end. Yeah. Right after the...
It's the middle.
It's the middle, but I said only, according to Achorim, only said Ritzei, only from Ritzei. Atav HaKatanu is before Ritzei. And so Ula by Rav did this, and Shavchei, Rav, and Rav praised him for doing this. Why? Because Rav Latame, Rav was according to his reasoning, Damart Salusa Yaserahi, because he felt that Ne'ila was a tefillah, and he was very happy that he said a whole nusach of Atav HaKatanu and so on. V'cheven Ditzalu Le'i Tzulot Tzarech. And once you dive in, you don't need to say it anymore. Ah. So. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's see. Rav Huna braid Rav Nasan Amar v'yachid omra achar tfilaso. And yachid, the individual person davening by himself, says this after the tefillah. So how do we read this line here? I didn't bring my Gemara here. I guess the difference is in the Tzibor, the Shliach Tzibor says it in the context of Tefillah, and the Yachid only says the Lashon Ne'ila after he's completed his prior Shemoneh Esrei, then he says the words of Atah Ma'anu Mechayinu. So Amar Rav says Tefillah Ne'ila Poteres Es Shel Arvis. When a person says Ne'ila, it exempts his marv. So again, Motzei Yom Kippur, it's late. It's you see three stars, and you say Ne'ila. That Ne'ila is going to exempt any obligation to say marv of Motzei Yom Kippur. That works. And why? Because Rav L'tameh, I skipped before. Rav L'tameh, Damar Tzlusa Yaserahi. So Rav had the Ne'ila itself was a tefillah. Since itself was a tefillah, and you daven at nighttime, Chayim D'tzali once you daven Ne'ila, you don't have to say the tefillah of Mar, because again, Ne'ila is something special to Yom Kippur, and since it's a tefillah and it's being said at nighttime, it covers your obligation to say Marv. Umi Amar Rav Halkin, did Rav really say that one that Ne'ila could substitute for Marv? V'ha'amar Rav halacha k'divrei omer tefillas arvis rishus. Doesn't Rav hold that tefillas arvis is only rishus? And so if he holds his rishus, so why is he saying that it exempts you from the chiv marv? The assumption is that there's a chiv marv in the first place, that you have to exempt it with a nila. But elsewhere, Rav says, no, arvis is only rishus, there's no obligation. What do you mean you're exempting anything? Nila doesn't exempt, you can't exempt something that's not an obligation. So the Gemara says, l'divrei ha'omer chova kamar. Rav himself held that marv is only rishus, it's only voluntary. But according to the opinion out there that says there's an obligation to say Marv, then Rav would say Ne'ila would work as a substitute for the Chiv of of a Mariv, if you were to hold Mariv as a Chovah, because again, since the Ilah itself is a Tefillah in its own right, it's able to substitute for Mariv. A very long Tosas, important Tosas here, about the nature of a Mariv being Rishus. And they point out that how can Mariv really be Rishus? It doesn't make any sense. It's a very long Tosas here. I'll just read it outside. I'll summarize as I go through it here. So the Gemara says that a couple of proofs that Mariv is a chovah, not simply a voluntary thing. Let's say a person doesn't daven Mariv. The halacha is he's supposed to daven in the morning two shacharis. Well, there's no obligation to say in the first place, so why do I have to make it up
when
in the morning?
When you're saying two shacharis, two shmonais.
Two shmonais, exactly. Right, two shmonais, right. That's one. Number two is he says, if a person, it's Leil Rosh Chodesh, he forgets to say Yalav Yavo, so it's okay, he's able to, he's Yotze his Mariv. And the Gemara says, why is Yotze his Mariv? Because they were not mekadesh the new month until the morning. You can't do kiddush hachodesh until the daytime. So that's why at nighttime, if you didn't say Yalav Yavo, it's still a good tefillah. But had not been for that reasoning, perhaps the Gemara seems to imply that it wouldn't be a good shmonah. So you'd have to repeat Mariv again. But Mariv in the first place is only a chova, is only rishus rather. So these are the two proofs that Tosa says. So it seems that Mariv is clearly a chova, not a rishus. How then does the Gemara here seem to say it's a rishus? So Tosa quotes from the Ri that says it's not a rishus in that you can't just do away with it for no reason. You can't just mevatel as if it's nothing. But when it comes, when there's a clash between Mariv and something else, then Mariv always loses. But if there's nothing else, there's no other clash, you can't just do away with Mariv at all. Only when there's a mitzvah of some sort. It brings some rise for this idea. So again, it's a chov to do it, but when there's a clash between Mariv and doing another mitzvah, let's say, Mariv always loses. That's what it means, it's a rishus. It's not a very strong chiv. Okay. There are others, I think the Bahag held, that no, really mamash, it was a rishus. Okay, there's a tosis here, it's also quoted in Brachos as well. So the Gemara continues now and says, the three lines from the bottom, Meisive, or Yom HaKippurim, the night of Yom Kippur, Mispal Sheva Umisvade, you daven seven brachos and you do vidoy, Shachar Sheva Umisvade, Musaf Sheva Umisvade, Manila Mispal Sheva Umisvade, Arvis Mispalel Sheva Me'ein Shmona Esrei. So here we say, before we said Rav held that Ni'ilah is going to exempt your Chiv of Marv. Now this Bryce says, after you've said Ni'ilah, you're still saying Marv. Now you're saying an abridged Marv. You're saying Marv only seven brachos. You're not saying the typical 18 brachos of Motzi Yom Kippur, Motzi Shabbos. They explain because...
That's what it is, really. Marv after Yom, after Tzitzit Yom
Kippur.
Not us. Not us. But the reason is, you look at the Baim Rashi, why this opinion at least held that you're able to say seven brachos of Motzi Yom Kippur. Not what we hold, but according to at least the opinion of the Tanakhama, Rashi says, the last Rashi on the page, Sheva Me'in Shmona Esrei, Gimel Rishonos V'Gimel Acharonos Kitiknun, V'Omer Havinenu Be'emsa, Sheyesh Me'in Shlosh Esrei Brachos, you say some type of abridged version, V'Tfila Kitzara, Shetiknu La'Ovrei Drachim L'Motzi Yom, so the people who have to travel, they didn't have time to daven, they were able to say this abridged version in general. It's a special heter. They were fasting all day. They were hungry. They had to go home and get food ready. They weren't able to cook all day. So for that reason, they permitted them to say this abridged version of Habinenu. Now the Tosas at the bottom has a very interesting approach to his different reason why you permitted it to say Habinenu on Motzi Yom Kippur. He says, Perish Rashbam, Taima Mishim Techevin Da'akati Hu B'tainis. Since he's still fasting, he hasn't broken his fast yet. Chashiv kiyom hakipurim lahachim is pal shev. It's viewed as a continuation of Yom Kippur. Ulufisha kfar panayom v'chol havi lahachim is pal mein shmon esrei. But at the same time, since it's nighttime, it's kind of a hybrid. It's not Yom Kippur because it's nighttime, but they're still fasting, so it's viewed as a continuation. So therefore, it's this hybrid where you could do seven brachos, but it has to be seven brachos that are a bridge version, a summary of the 18 brachos. It's somewhere in the middle. That's what he says. Now, I'll throw out there one other idea. The Gemara Tosfos and Shabbos and the number of interesting rayos for this, that the suda that a person eats in Yom Kippur is not just stam a breakfast. It's a real suda's mitzvah. And there are a number of rayos for this, I had to prove that. Some say that the Motzi Yom Kippur meal is supposed to be a substitute for one of the meals that were supposed to take place in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a Yom Tif. It's a Simcha Yom Tif. It's not a fast like Tisha B'Av. So really, you should have two meals. On any Yom Tif, you have two meals. So the way they explain, if you build through some of the Achronim, the Rishonim even, it sounds like the Sudas Mafsekas in Erev Yom Kippur is supposed to substitute for the first meal of Yom Kippur. And the Motzei Yom Kippur Yisuda is supposed to substitute for the second meal. So really, what sandwiches the Yom Kippur, the meal before and the meal afterwards, are meant to really be the meals that are taking place in Yom Kippur. For obvious reasons, you can't eat on Yom Kippur, so therefore we place them surrounding Yom Kippur. So if that's the case, so we could see even further that it really is viewed as a continuation of Yom Kippur, perhaps as another reason why you could say this abridged version. Either way, so continuing the Brice here, this Gemara, so Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Moshe Mavosav, he would say, Mispal Shmon Esrei, no, Shlemos, when it came to Motzei Yom Kippur, you have to daven 18 full brachos. Why? You have to say Havdalah. Havdalah is not only reserved for Motzei Shabbos, it's reserved for Yom Tif, it's reserved for Yom Kippur as well. So if you say Havinenu, there's no place to say Havdalah and Havinenu. So the Machlokas, what type of Marv do you say? 7 Bracha Marv or an 18 Bracha Marv? But either way, you're saying a Bracha. You're saying you're davening Marv. We just said before, according to Rav, that the Ne'ilah substitutes Marv. But here this Brisa clearly says you do have to say Marv. The Gemara says it's a Tanai. It's really Machlokas Tanaim whether or not Ne'ilah is able to substitute to exempt your Chiyuv Marv. What's a Tanai? The Tanai, the Braisa says, Kol Chayaveh Tvilos, anyone who's obligated to do a Tvila in the Mikvah, Tovlin Kedarkan, they have to do a regular Tvila B'Yom HaKippurim, such as a Nida, V'Yoledes, a woman who just gave birth, not just, but after the times of waiting, Tovlos Kedarkan B'Lel Yom HaKippurim, they're able to go to the Mikvah, they're supposed to go to the Mikvah on the night of Yom Kippur. Even though normally there's an Isser Rechitza, one of the five Yinuim, you can't bathe on Yom Kippur, these for Tefillah, it's permitted. And Balkeri, Tovel V'Holich Ad HaMincha. Balkeri is able to go into the Mikvah even through even later in the daytime. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol HaYom Kula, the entire day he's able to go, not simply up until Mincha. The Tan Kama says the Balkeri goes up until Mincha. Rabbi Yossi held they could go the entire day.
And today?
And today?
Today is Allah.
Tefillah on Yom Kippur?
Yeah.
Not so clear. I don't think. There's some who do, many who don't. It's really. I do know. Yeah. Okay. Leave it at that. What? No. Many don't. There might be those who do, but. Right. Okay. So.
There's not a lacha in regard to that.
There is. We'll talk. So so what's the question here? So what's the machlokas tanaim here? So whether or not a Baal Keri could go call Yom Kula or not? So Rashi explains. You see Rashi tovel v'holich ad mincha im ira lo keri kodem lachen. If a person sees a keri before mincha, Rashi says. Tovel kidei shiuchal lespal tefilas mincha. You're supposed to go to the tefila, so in order for him to daven mincha, he can't daven mincha while he's a bal keri. Aval ra keri mina mincha l'mal. If he sees keri after mincha, ain mutar litvol. He's not able to go to the mikvah. El yamtin v'itvol. Then go to the mikvah. The sphere lehula rabbanon. The rabbanon held this first opinion in the brayso. The tefilas neila belayla. You daven neila at nighttime. Uli did who? According to them, poteris es kol es shel arvis kederav. And according to them, it exempts the marv. So the question is, are you able to go to the mikvah after, can you go to the mikvah after mincha? So if you're not davening after mincha, of course you can't go, because you can't go to the mikvah for no reason, it has to be a purpose. So the question really is, when is ne'ilah being said? What's the zman of ne'ilah? Is ne'ilah being said during the daytime, or is it being done during the nighttime? If ne'ilah is being said at nighttime, so then you don't go to the mikvah after, you can't go to the mikvah at nighttime. Is that the point? They're saying you can't go to the mikvah at nighttime? Second. Right. You wait till Yom Kippur is over nighttime, then you go to the mikvah, because then there's no Isser Vechitza, and then you daven Ne'ilah, because Ne'ilah is at nighttime. But if you were to hold that Ne'ilah takes place during the daytime, so there's no waiting to do. You have to say Ne'ilah before nighttime, so then there's a heter to say to go to the mikvah, even during the daytime, this way you could say Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur itself. So how is this machlokas, whether or not Ne'ilah is poter as Marv? So again, Ne'ilah could only exempt Marv if Ne'ilah is being said at the same time as Marv, namely at nighttime. So this debate about when Ne'ilah is being said, whether it's the day or nighttime, really also tells us whether it can exempt Marv or cannot exempt Marv. Gemara asks, Ur Minhu. Hazav, Vazava, various types of tumas, a man, a woman who's tame, Hamitsora, Hamitsoras, Ubalnida, Vitame Mace, all these types of tumas, Tovlin, Kedarkan, Beyoma Kippurim. They're able to do a regular tefillah Yom Kippur, they're tame, this will mitahar them. Nida, Violedes, Tovlos, Kedarkan, Beleila Yom Kippurim. On the night of Yom Kippur, they are able to go to the mikvah. Balkari, Tovel, Vaholech, Kol Yom Kula. And the Balkari goes any time during the day, even after Mincha. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Minha Mincha Ulmala, Ein Yachal Litvel. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you're able to go any time before Mincha, but once you've davened Mincha already, you Balkari may not go to the mikvah. So what's the question here? Rabbi Yossi before said, Kol Yom Kulo, the entire day a Balkari could go to the mikvah. Here, Rabbi Yossi says, the limit's Mincha, you can't go after Mincha. So it seems to be a stira. And so, again, it really the question of when... If he's allowed to go after Mincha, really it depends on when Ne'ilah takes place. If Ne'ilah is also during the daytime, then you would allow a Balkari to go to the Tefillah even after Mincha so that he could daven Ne'ilah. But if you have that Ne'ilah took place at nighttime, so then he couldn't go to the mikvah after Mincha. He has to wait until nighttime to go to the mikvah and then daven Ne'ilah. So to steer, what's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi? Can you go to the mikvah after Mincha or can you not? Is Ne'ilah during the daytime or is Ne'ilah during the night? So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, hadit tzali tefillas Ne'ilah, hadilot tzali. So Gemara says that really the question is whether or not you daven Ne'ilah. Really, Rabbi Yossi held that Ne'ilah is also during the daytime. And the question is, if you daven Ne'ilah already, so then there's no reason to go to the mikvah. So that's the first brisa is a case where you did not daven in Ne'ilah yet. And that's why Rabbi Yossi permits you to go during the entire day. The second brisa is where you already did daven Ne'ilah, so that's why you cannot go anymore during the day. So Gemara says, eat Sali, if you're talking about a case of Ne'ilah where you already davened, so my time I the Rabbanon, so why the Rabbanon allow you to go to the mikvah Kol Yom Kula? According to the second Brisa, Rabbi Yossi says that you can't go after Mincha. And we're saying that's why can't you go after Mincha? Because we're talking about a case where you're ready to daven Ne'ilah. Well, if you're ready to daven Ne'ilah, so why the Rabbanon hold that you can go to the mikvah the entire day, even when you're ready to daven Mincha already, daven Ne'ilah already? There's no point. You're not allowed to violate Rechitza. You can't violate bathing unless there's a reason. But if you daven all your tefillos, so why the Chachamim permit you to go to the mikvah during the day? The Gemara says, Kasavi Rabbanon Tefillah Bizman Mitzvah. Now they held that going to the Tefillah in the proper time, in the right time, is a mitzvah. There's a it's not just stama rechita. It's not bathing for no purpose. When you're bathing, we're going to the mikvah for the purpose of davening. There's a need for there. But even when you're bathing, not for the purpose of Tefillah, you're bathing simply to become tahor. The Rabbanon holds to become tahor bizmana on time as soon as possible. That's also a mitzvah. There's a value to that. So that's why even though you're ready to daven the ni'ilah, Rabbanon permitted you to go to the mikveh anyways because Tefillah bizmana mitzvah. Mechlal, is this to imply that Rabbi Yossi savar lav mitzvah? That Rabbi Yossi held going to the mikveh bizmana in time is not a mitzvah? V'hatana, doesn't the Braisa teach us the other way? The Haresha Yashem Kasav Al Bsaro. Person has Shem Hashem written on his body, tattooed, marked on his body. Hareza lo yurchatz, he's not allowed to wash his body. And there's a machlokas, why not? Some say because you're going to wash off the, you're going to erase the Shem Hashem. Others say because you can't be arum, you can't be naked in front of Shem Hashem. I think Rashi here says, I think you're going to erase it. Does Rashi say anything here? The Rashi says, Lo yirchot shelo yimchok es Hashem. You shouldn't erase the Shem Hashem. While other Rishonim say the reason is because you can't be undressed in front of Shem Hashem.
What the connection between Shem Hashem?
We'll get there. We're not there. There's a brisa, and we're going to get to how we see Rabbi Yossi held that Tefillah Bizmana is a mitzvah. Right now we're assuming Rabbi Yossi held that Tefillah Bizmana is not a mitzvah. Yeah. And the reason is because even though you daven, once you daven Tefillah, once you daven Ne'ilah, you can't go to the mikveh anymore. Why not?
For the tefillah.
For the tefillah.
For the purpose exactly. Of the tefillah, yeah.
Why not? You should be able to go to the mikveh because tefillah bizmana mitzvah. Doesn't Rabbi Yossi, as we'll see, held tefillah bizmana is a mitzvah? So we haven't seen how he held that yet. We're getting there. So the Braisa first says someone who has Shem Hashem on his body cannot go to, cannot bathe. Below Yasuch, he can't put oil on his body because that might also erase him. Below Yamod b'makma tenufos, he can't stand in any place that's disgusting, where it's improper to have the Shem Hashem to be. Let's say he has to go to the mikvah. Balkari, let's say, for example. So what does he do? He has to put something, cover some type of thing to protect the water from ruining Shem Hashem. And then Tovan goes to the mikvah. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yorid V'Tovel Kedarko.
But what do you mean Shem Hashem?
Because that can't be erased. Yeah. That's be something that he wrote on marker, let's say, on his body, on pen, Shem Hashem.
Why?
don't know why.
He had a big test that day. He wanted to have a little extra assistance. He was meeting a big client.
What a connection to Hashem Hashem. It's Tanis Torah.
Why? I don't know why, but either way, we're learning some important halachas from this. So the Gemara, so again, according to the Tanakhama, you're supposed to cover it up and then go to the mikvah so that you don't erase Shem Hashem. Biosi held, no, Yorid Tova Kadarko, no, you could do a regular tevilah. Ubabash, lo yishavshiv, as long as you don't rub it, you can't rub it to erase it, but you go in the mikvah, you don't need to cover it, and whatever happens, happens. So why does Rabbi Yossi permit you to go to do a regular mikvah? So the Gemara explains, the Gemara in Shabbos talks about this at length. This Gemara comes up a number of times in Shas. It says, V'kayim lam dip tefila b'zmana mitzvah. The machlokas tanakam Rabbi Yossi, whether or not you have to cover up Shem Hashem when going to the mikvah or not, really depends on tefila b'zmana mitzvah.
And you're not allowed to go to the mikvah Shem Hashem because it will erase.
Well, that's according to Rashi. According to other Rishonim say, because you can't be naked in front of Shem Hashem.
So, okay, so let's go to Rashi. So I'm supposed to take it off in general?
No, so...
It's forever?
You forever, until you have a tefillah, until you have to go to the mikvah, there's a requirement to go to the tefillah, to go to the mikvah.
In order to remove Shem Hashem?
No, a person's a Baal Keri, let's say, or he's a Zav, or he's a Mitzora.
No, but I'm talking about the Inyan of Shem Hashem written on your body. If it's not allowed to raise it, so how do you take it off?
Listen, so the only way it could come off is either after time, or if a person has to go to the mikvah. So he goes to the mikvah, he's not going to erase it, but he goes to the mikvah, mimeila, it's going to come off. It's going
to
come.
But he said that you're not allowed to erase it, to cover it up.
No, so this is machlokas. Yeah. According to the Tanakhama, you're supposed to cover it up. So then it might only erase after wearing over time. According to Rabbi Yossi, he says, no, you go to the mikvah regularly, you don't have to cover it up, but at the same time you can't rub it off either, but it's going to eventually come off, but that's not the intention. The intentions are simply go to the mikvah. So what's the debate, according to Tanakhama, the hell, that you have to cover up the Shem Hashem? While Rabbi Yossi says you don't have to cover up Shem Hashem, the Gemara says again, "V'kayim alon de betefilah b'zmana mitzvah pligi." They're arguing about whether tefilah b'zmana is a mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi held tefilah b'zmana is a mitzvah. There's a requirement, there's a mitzvah at least, to go to the mikvah as soon as possible. So don't care about anything else. It's not an issue of worrying about erasing Shem Hashem or not erasing Shem Hashem. You have to go to the mikvah. If it happens to erase, it erases. But to waste any time, you shouldn't waste any time. But according to Tanakhama, he held no, that there's no mitzvah, there's no urgency to go to the mikvah. So if you're going, take the time, cover up Shem Hashem, and then go to the mikvah. So that's the machlokas. But what comes out of this b'raisa is that Rabbi Yossi held that tefillah b'zmana is a mitzvah. While above we said tefillah b'zmana is not a mitzvah, because above we said Rabbi Yossi held that if you daven in the ni'il already, and a person becomes a Baal Keri, you cannot go to the mikvah. But why not? Isn't there at least a concept of tefillah b'zmana mitzvah? You should be able to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur for the concept of tefillah b'zmana a mitzvah. The Gemara says, no. There's two Rabbi Yossis we're dealing with. Hahi, that Rabbi Yossi is Rabbi Yossi bar Yehudahi, Ditanya. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda Omer, daya l'tefillah shetei b'acharona. So the Braisa above is talking about, it's enough that, what's this case here? Sorry. Rashi says, Hahi, the Amin Le'el, the above Rice says, Rabbi Yossi Omer Min HaMinchal Ma'ala Lo Yitvol, that one that you cannot go after Mincha time, after you've already davened, Ad Shetich Shach, the Tefillah B'Zmana Lav Mitzvah, that one that says it's not as, again, Tefillah B'Zmana is Lav Mitzvah, that's Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehudahi. This Bryce about going to the mikvah with the Shem Hashem, that's Rabbi Yossi Stam, that he held that Tefillah B'Zmana is a mitzvah.
Ben Chalfta.
Yeah, that's Stam Rabbi Yossi, okay. When I'm saying when we see Rabbi Yossi Stam, that refers to, that really means Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta. Okay. So says the Gemara now, Tanur Rabbanon, Haroa Keri B'Yom HaKippurim, somebody who sees a Keri on Yom Kippur, Yorid V'Tovil, he could go to the mikvah, Ul'erev Yishavshish, and at night time he's supposed to Yishavshif, and Rashi explains, Ul'erev Yishavshif Mishum Chatzitza. When you go to the mikvah, you can't have Yichatzitzas. Actually, I got to see a chalitza on Sunday. Chalitza is when a woman's husband dies and her brother-in-law, they have no children, her brother-in-law has to perform either yibum or chalitza. Nowadays, we only do chalitza based on the Mishnah in Becharos, so we only do chalitza. So I got to see it for the first time. So it's fascinating. So
when?
In Brooklyn.
When?
In a shul, Young Israel Avenue K.
Now, just now.
It's past Sunday, yeah.
This
past Sunday. So they have to put a shoe, this special shoe they put on the brother-in-law. And beforehand, one of the dayanim had to call him a rav to come up to this brother-in-law, roll up his pants, take off his socks, and you see the rav on his knees washing this guy's leg with a bucket of water, and like looking in between his toes to make sure there's no chatzitzas at all. Then he placed the shoe on, there shouldn't be any chatzitzas. And then after he did this, the rav, who's called the Mishamish Beis Din, and all the dayanim, these older dayanim came like sitting on their knees, like analyzing the foot to make sure there are no chatzitzas there. So anyway, it was very, very fascinating. So the
why does the shoe have to be a special shoe?
There's all these different dinim of the shoe. They have especially, he had a number of different size shoes there, the dayan. It had to be a leather shoe with a number of different straps and hooks, so the way it was. And when you put the shoe on, there has to be nothing in between.
She spit
it. It has to be me'al ragel, not on him, but in front of him. So the first time they didn't see it, she had to do it two times. So the first time, dayan has to see it go from the mouth to the floor. First time it was a little too fast, so she had to do it the second time. It's a whole long process. It's very fascinating. And the dayan who was being masada, the chalitza, who was organizing it, was doing like play by play each moment just to fill in the crowd, what was going on, what the purpose was, what the reasons for everything was.
Everybody looked.
Yeah.
It wasn't a private event.
No, I feel bad. I mean, it wasn't private at all. It's meant to be public to a certain extent, actually. But she was not told beforehand.
The gate, right? I suppose
right.
The gate,
so it was a whole thing. So she wasn't told beforehand that it was going to be such a public event. anyways, it's very interesting. So again, the Gemara says that Haroa carry again b'yom Kippurim yored v'tovel. He has to go to the mikvah if he's on Yom Kippur itself. Ule'erev yishavshef le'erev yishavshef. At nighttime, he's supposed to remove, clean his any of the carry that's on his body, so it shouldn't be a chatzitza. What do you mean le'erev? Why is he cleaning any chatzitzas after the fact? He went to the mikveh on Yom Kippur, and Motzei Yom Kippur, he goes to make sure there's no chatzitza after the fact. Ela Eima, rather say, mi ba'erev yishav shef. So Rashi says, from yesterday, you're supposed to clean your body with warm water to make sure there's no chatzitza in case a person has keri and has to go to the mikveh during the daytime. So not that you could clean it during the daytime, and not that you should clean it after the fact, but rather clean it erev Yom Kippur in the case that you won't have to go to the mikveh on Yom Kippur itself. Tani Kamad Rav Nachman, another brisa was said in front of Rav Nachman, Haroa Kerib Yom HaKippurim, somebody who sees a Kerib Yom Kippur, Avanosav Mechulim Lo, his sins are Mechul, he's completely forgiven. The Gemara says, V'hatanya Avanosav Sidurin, doesn't say that his sins are actually Mesudur, they're organized, they're in front of him to as a bad thing, that they're not Mechul, they're actually Sidurin, they're there placed out to be taken punishment from, and the Gemara says, "My sidurin limchol." No, it doesn't mean sidurin. They're placed in order that he should be punished from the sins. They're placed in order that they're going to be machol, and going to be knocked off one by one. So, the person sees carrying Yom Kippur, he's going to get machol. Tana, the baby Rabbi Shmuel, haroa kara b'yom kippurim yidag kol hashana kula. Rabbi Shmuel says that person sees carrying Yom Kippur, he should be worried the entire year. However, vim al saloshana. If, however, he completes the year, he stays alive, makes it through the entire year. So then the Gemara says, Muftach lo shehu ben olam haba. That's a guarantee that such a person is worthy of olam haba. Summer of Nachman bar Yitzchak Teda. Do we wait for these last few lines for Thursday night? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, I'll finish it. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Teda. Shekol ha'olam kulo rav v'hu save. That the entire world is hungry on Yom Kippur, and he's satisfied, he sees the carry, he's satisfied. So this shows that he's different than the rest of the world. This shows how great he is. This, he's a Ben Olam Haba.
After the Europe Press.
I will stop there.